Well, Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to share your word tonight. Lord, I just look so forward to this time when the family meets together and we come together before your throne, your arms wide open, ready to teach your people. I just rejoice in that, Lord. And not just those that are here, but those that are receiving these CDs and those that will later get them on the internet. We don't know where this word will go, but Lord, we know one thing for sure. You are teaching your people, and it is your word. It is your word, and it's alive, and it will change our lives. And we thank you for it, Father. Give us ears to hear tonight. We position ourselves to hear. We choose to hear. And we thank you, Lord, that the seed of this word tonight will bear much fruit, not only in our now moment, but in the now moments yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, number 26, Walking in the Ways of the Lord, part 26. And to the title of tonight, we're still on our little section on peace and rest. The Lord is my shepherd, I am at rest in the Lord, part 1. Psalms 23 is where we're going, and we're going to other places, but the basis of our study will be Psalm 23. I think there'll be two parts, depends on how far I get tonight. There's 6 verses, and I've got quite a bit of information on each verse, so there may be 3. But I'm thinking we'll at least get through verse 2. I'm going to try to get through verse 3 and make it a two-parter. But whatever the Lord wants, that's what we'll do. And there's a couple of different ways of looking at Psalm 23. Tonight we're going to look at the angle of rest. We talked last week on rest and entering in the secret place of God's rest. So this is another part of that. If the Lord is my shepherd, then I am at rest in the Lord. If he's not my shepherd, I'm not going to be at rest.
That's right.
Amen. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is walking in the peace and rest of the Lord. This person exercises the fruit of peace in every area of their life. They are at rest in God's living word. Psalms 23 is what we will be studying a verse at a time and taking it apart as we go. But Psalms 23 is a wonderful image of a person who has entered and is dwelling in the secret place of God's rest, like we discussed last week in Psalm 91. You can take the two Psalms and kind of lay them over the top of each other. They're related, and I, in my own opinion, it's just me, it's just Michael, but I can see David meditating on Psalm 91. I can see that. I can see elements of Psalm 91 throughout Psalm 23. And I think Psalm 91 had a major impact on David. That's just my opinion. I see elements of it in his other Psalms as well. But it's just opinion. The Word doesn't say so. But I can just, sometimes you can look at somebody, what they say, and hear the effect that somebody else has had on their life. And I think Moses was someone that had a major impact on David. When entering into and dwelling in the secret place of God's rest, the Lord himself becomes our shepherd. If we have actually entered that place of rest that we talked about in Psalm 91, then the Lord will be our shepherd. We'll be able to hear his voice. We'll be obedient to him as he guides and leads. We'll be quick to recognize his leading as we go through our life. Psalm 91 and Psalm 23 are both about deep, intimate relationships. Covenant, refreshing, protection, provision, rest, and guidance. That's what Psalm 91 and Psalm 23 are about. They're about deep, intimate relationships. They show covenant. They bring refreshing. They show protection, provision, rest, and guidance. You see that in both Psalms. And that's another reason why when I look at them, I see the influence of Psalm 91 on David's life. And okay, what we're going to do is we're going to read Psalm 23, 1 through 6 in its entirety, and then come back and take it apart a verse at a time. Mother, you want to read it in the Amplified?
Sure. The Lord is my shepherd. To feed, guide, and shield me, I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect and your staff to guide. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Surely, or only, goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place.
Amen. And now we're going to go back to verse 1 and start looking at that. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. To feed, guide, and shield me, I shall not lack. Those are only a few words, but there's a lot in that verse. There's a lot in there. First of all, is the very first part there. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my Lord. I have made an absolute quality decision. It's my choice. So many of us don't, we just say, well, the Lord's my shepherd because I'm born again. Not necessarily. You know, you can be born again. Legally, he's your shepherd, but a shepherd is a leader. A shepherd is a guide. He's not going to force you to follow him.
You have to yield.
You have to yield. Mm-hmm. You have to make him your Lord. If you haven't made him your Lord, he still is legally your shepherd, but he's not shepherding you. So it's important that we look at that, those words, the Lord is. That's a decision. That's something I'm doing. The Lord is my. Now it's personal. The Lord is my shepherd. Now what am I going to let him do? The Amplified brings it out. To feed, guide, and shield me. That's what a shepherd does. A shepherd feeds his sheep. He sees to it that they got a lot of food, they got good pasture, and when it starts running out, because a sheep will eat it right down to nothing, you know. And it's time to move on to another pasture, so he leads them to another place. And that's the same way in our lives. We don't go around going baa all the time, but we're still his sheep. The Word calls us his sheep, and he's our shepherd. I shall not lack. Well, then how come I'm lacking? Well, for one, you got to ask yourself, is he your Lord? Mm-hmm. Not your Savior. I'm not talking about that. He is your Savior if you're born again. But there are two different actions there. Lord and Savior. It always says it that way. Lord and Savior, or Savior and Lord. He always puts them together because there's two different actions. You got born again, but then you went on right out where you were and carried on your own life. Are you born again? If you meant business, when you ask him as to be your Lord and Savior, he's your Lord and he's your Savior. If you meant that. But now the next step is his becoming your Lord. He is Lord, but you've got to yield to him in his Lordship. That means you are doing what the Word says. You're walking the love walk. You're correcting yourself as you go through your life. His word is final authority. He's Lord. And that's something I have to make a choice on in my now moment. He can be my Lord. I can make him my Lord. But what about the next moment? What about the next time I have an opportunity to fly off the handle at somebody? or to do something that's not right. Maybe I'm lying to someone, trying to deceive them in some way. Well, it's just a little white lie. There is no such thing as a white lie. It's a lie, big or small. I'm deceiving you. So if that's the case, then he's not Lord there in that. If he was Lord in that area, then I wouldn't have done that. Or if I started to, I would have corrected myself. But see, it's a now moment thing. It upgrades each decision I make. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And when I done a study on that, I mentioned in that series, I done a series on that, "Who do you say that I am?" That wasn't just asked of Peter. That's asked of everyone. Who do you say I am? And every decision I make, I answer that question. It upgrades in my now moment. If I'm a liar, I just decided he wasn't my Lord there. You say, "Who do you say that I am?" Your Lord. But if I'm lying, then he's not Lord there. I've changed who he is and what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You follow what I'm saying here? Mm-hmm. Who do you say I am upgrades in every decision we make. Every now moment we walk in, who do you say I am upgrades in every decision we make. We don't realize him, we're making a statement. We're answering that question, but that's exactly what we're doing. If he's Lord, then he's Lord. And I need to answer that question, "You're Lord," every time that opportunity comes up. The Lord is my shepherd, personal. I'm making an absolute choice. He's my Lord. I have made an absolute quality decision. I've made a choice. It's my choice. Because he is my Lord, my shepherd, I shall not lack. If you have made the Lord your shepherd, you shall not lack. This is an absolute truth. That word "shall" is there. Now, it depends on what you call lack. Some people look at their driveway and say, "I don't have the latest car out there, so I lack." Mm-hmm. "I don't have $1 million in my account, so I lack." Do you? You may not lack at all. You're lacking what you want, what you desire, but that's not a real lack. Right. You've got a car out there, it runs, you're blessed, it'll get you back and forth to work. If that other car comes, praise God. It's a gift, it's overtaking you, God's made the provision, but in the meantime, praise God, he's keeping the one that you got running. Mm-hmm. We got one out here with 190,000 miles on it, literally, it just passed that. Praise God, he keeps it running. We haven't done a lot of repairs to it. We've done some things, but not a lot. It's still got the original brake shoes on.
Yeah.
I don't hardly believe that, mm-hmm. but they are. They're original. Mm-hmm. And every time we get them checked, they're fine. They're fine.
Yeah, since it's over 150,000, you have to get it inspected like we used to.
Yes. Yep.
And they look at them and say they don't see any problem with them.
I've never heard of a pair of brake shoes going 190,000 miles. But they did. And they're still going. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to change them. Because I know they're not supposed to go 40, 50,000 miles. Should be around the max, mm-hmm. you know, for them. But if they're still okay, praise God. But do we lack? We don't lack new brake shoes. We don't need them.
Nope.
You know, but the point is, I got to qualify that word lack. What I may think I lack may not be a lack at all. But because he is my Lord, my shepherd, I shall not lack. I can take that to the bank. I can let, if I'm going through a circumstance or situation, first of all, how did I get there? If I was allowing him to be my shepherd, chances are I wouldn't be in that mess. And ask me how I know. Because I've been in a few. It doesn't always work that way. There's trouble in everybody's path. But a lot of our troubles we manufacture ourselves. And most of them are because we were not listening. Mm-hmm. We had not been following in the way we should have been. Yes, there's a lack there. And he'll help me with that. If, like we talked last week about rolling the care of that over on him and allowing him to be Lord in that area, he can fix it. He sovereignly got us out of debt.
Oh,
it took years. It's amazing. He just kept doing it. And he cut the time in half. There's a lot of reasons why people really lack. And some of it, my point is, some of it, without even realizing it, we manufactured ourselves because of a lack of knowledge. Because we just simply don't know. We never thought about it. We never spend any time finding out. There's a lot of reasons why. But if there is lack, there's a reason why it's there. It's not God that's causing that lack.
Right.
He's not doing it. No. He's the answer for it. And that's part of that lordship. If I make him Lord of my life, he's going to teach me. But I have to come to him. I have to take the care and roll it over on him like the word says to do. We talked about last week. And then expect by his word, because it's truth, him to teach me how to make decisions as I go. Not to focus on the problem. It's there. My focusing on it can't change it. My worry can't change it. But if I'll focus on the Word and expect Him to teach me, expecting Him to do that, now, how's He going to teach me? I'll be reading the Bible and all of a sudden the Scripture will jump out. That's it right there. We're talking about how to take those mistakes, those things that we've done in our life that didn't look like a mistake at the time, but it turned into a big mess, and then take that and say, Lord, help me. And expect him, because you came to him, you ask. Now he's going to teach you. It might not be in the next 10 minutes. 6 months later, you might be driving down the road. I got it.
Well, and sometimes that word is simply that, a word.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my personality is very, I can get worked up real quick.
Yeah.
And I'm not really necessarily getting after someone, but just in my own personal vocabulary, just to myself, just like, well, why is that just so dumb? Why would that, it's just so stupid. I get one word. Stop. You're like,
shut up.
That's what he tells me.
Yeah, you're right.
What's the Lord telling you? Same thing you always tell me, put up or shut up.
Rest.
Yeah. Michael, rest.
Rest.
Rest. You know, and that's, if you're upset, you can't think. You're not going to hear him. And you're not going to hear him if you're worried, other than the word, like Nate said, stop worrying. Shut up, let me talk to you. If he's Lord, we're going to be doing that.
Yeah.
It may take us a little while because our emotions are risen up. Mm-hmm. Or the situation is a suddenly, like we said, as we said, there's no such thing. But it hit me as a suddenly, and I reacted wrong. Now I got to back my way out of this sometime, some way. And instead of backing it out of with God by being gracious about it, asking forgiveness, I try to prove that what I did was right.
Yeah.
And it just makes it worse. But if I made him Lord, if he's my shepherd, literally I will not lack. He'll qualify that word lack for me. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I out of order somewhere? Now, sometimes the teaching you get when you bring the problem to him, and you say, Lord, this, I'm sorry, I got a mess here. I have no idea what to do. I know the options I have, but none of them look right. Lord, I ask your forgiveness for not coming to you first. You do that. You say, Lord, help me with this. And he will. But you might not hear something related to your problem, or at least you don't think it is. You're wanting an answer for this mess out here, and he'll tell you to go do something. You'll hear this little quickening to go do something that makes no, it has not related to that. And you'll say, I'll get to that, Lord. I appreciate that. I'll do that. But right now, I need this.
Mm-hmm.
that's related to it.
Did I give you my testimony about the oscilloscope? Do you remember my oscilloscope testimony? I'm sure I've told it over the years, but I don't know who all heard it.
I can't recall.
When I was praying, I prayed for 18 months every day out of Victory. Mm-hmm. And I had a lesson I wanted to use an oscilloscope for. And I thought, where in the world can I get an oscilloscope? I called the rental places. I called people that I knew, you know, who might be able to have access to one. And I was walking around inside the sanctuary. The lights were off. It was just the light that comes on when every light's off, you know.
Security light.
And Brad came in and was back in a sound booth. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, go ask Brad. And I thought, why would Brad? I'm not going to bother Brad. Surely I can find one somewhere. A school or somebody ought to have one, you know. Mm-hmm. So I walked around in there a few more times and I said, go ask Brad. I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to bother Brad. He's busy. He's doing all this stuff, you know. So after about another three or four rounds, that was a big sanctuary, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said, go ask Brad. I'm like, oh, all right. So I walked up to him, and he'd seen me. He knew I was in there. I didn't scare him or nothing because the light, it wasn't really bright in there. Mm-hmm. I said, how you doing, Brad? Okay. He said, maybe you can help me with something that I want to do. He said, like what? I said, I am trying to find an oscilloscope. You guys know what that is? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, he said, I've got one. He said, I haven't used it in a real long time, but what are you going to do? I said, well, I was going to use it for a lesson, a Bible lesson, just one time. Oh, okay, well. He said, I've got one. And so he went home and got it while I was still there. And he came back. And he had a CD to go in. He said, we need to get you something so you can see the thing, you know. So he gets this little something, puts it in there, and it starts going, bee, right? But it was like this. Instead of the nice loopy-loopies, he said, boy, that's really digital. I said, well, yeah, and I borrowed it, and I used it, and I give it back to him. I should have bought it off of him.
You'll never use it again. But
I don't know. I can find some reason to use it.
He cares about the small stuff. We think that's a small thing, but not to the Lord. It's not. It's his word, and he wanted her to give that example. And it's the same way.
Well, the lesson came from him. He knows what he needs
That problem that you brought to the Lord, God already knows the answer. He actually knows where that thing started back there, whatever you did.
Yeah.
He knows how it got started, where it got started at, and even if you tried, you wouldn't put that there. You wouldn't say that started there, but it did. Mm-hmm. He knows. But he can't help you with it till you come to him. Now, if he's Lord, not just Savior, but Lord, that's the first place you go. Mm-hmm. You come to him and you explain it to him. And when he tells you, you're focused on this. He is too. But he's telling you to do something over here. And you cannot put the two together. Mm-hmm. But they are. They're together. And that's where you need to start. And until you do that, he can't take you much further. Mm-hmm. Not like her. Mm-hmm. Go talk to Brad. Mm-hmm. Go do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Lord, don't you understand? Tomorrow's a deadline. Mm-hmm. Go to Brad. Mm-hmm. Or whatever he told you to do. He's expecting you to have faith and trust in him. And to listen to what he says and be obedient. If he's Lord and you're shepherd, that's what you'll do. That's where the green grass is. Mm-hmm. So these are lessons that we need to learn in our daily life. And it's not going to make sense. Mm-hmm. But that's why you take it by faith. Because he is my Lord, my shepherd, I shall not lack. If you have made the Lord your shepherd, you shall not lack. This is an absolute truth. However, we need to be aware that there are conditions in this verse that puts us in the position where we do not lack. The conditions unlock God's provision. There's always a condition. Something I have to do for that to work. We just talked about some of them, but let's look at these. Those conditions are our submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of our lives. We've been talking about that. Our submission to Jesus Christ as our shepherd in every area of our lives. They're not necessarily the same. They're two different functions. Lord and shepherd. He can be my Lord, but I not follow his lead. You see, there's two different functions there. The other one is our submission to the living word as being first place and final authority in our lives. Those are the three things that need to be there before there's no lack. There are conditions. Another one is a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge, which relates to the word, a lack of knowledge in our not acting on the knowledge that we have causes us to be in lack. See, I can have knowledge of that circumstance, the situation. God can be trying to lead me around it, and he normally does, but I'm not listening. Or I reason it out. But he's trying to move me around this. I have the knowledge, but I'm not acting on it. See, God granted me the knowledge. He's been giving me knowledge right along. From out of nowhere, scriptures come up. I'll hear a sermon on it. Things are happening all around me, and he's giving me knowledge. So I have the knowledge, but I'm not acting on it. See, and that produces a lack. What do we do when we have a lack of knowledge? That seems like a stupid question. But it's not. You can't go get a tin can and open it up and pour out knowledge. Now, you may get knowledge on how to open that tin can, but you're not going to get, and maybe what's in it, but you're not going to get much other than that. What do we do when we have a lack of knowledge? We obtain knowledge, and we act on that knowledge, or we will continue to lack. See, if we obtain the knowledge and don't act on that knowledge, we will continue to lack. And that word lack covers every area of life. An area where we think money, but it covers so many other things.
Oh yeah, health and everything.
It covers everything from job, from business to family to whatever. That word lack, there's something that I'm short of in some way. I don't have something. So in that knowledge that we just talked about here, what do we do when we have a lack of knowledge? We obtain that knowledge. So we can obtain knowledge and still not act on it. That's not God's fault. Just to have knowledge is not enough. We must have faith in the knowledge that we have. Faith is an action word. It doesn't mean I have faith in that because I read that, I believe it, I understand it. That's not necessarily faith. Faith has an action that follows that. For faith to be real faith, there must be action that flows from the faith. There is always an action that follows faith. You can have knowledge, not act on the knowledge, and you have lack. It is not by your own works, but there is a work or an action that flows from the faith. My project is not by my own works. I can't work this up myself. I have faith in God and his word to accomplish this, but there's a work that flows from the faith. Faith is never just dormant. It always has an action that flows from that. Faith will always have an action. And James 2:17 says that. Also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Just what I got done saying. It's not by works, but there is a work that flows from the faith. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. He said, just got done saying the same thing I've been talking about. It's not by my own effort, it's by faith, but there is a work flowing from the faith. The source of the knowledge of God is His living word. The abiding word always brings forth fruit and rest when we submit to it and make it final authority. We talked last week about rest. So the source of the knowledge of God is His living word. That's where my knowledge comes from. If I'm wanting knowledge without the word, I'm not going to have knowledge. I'm going to have a mess. The knowledge comes from His word. That's where it comes from. Remember, everything God does, no matter what He does by and through His word. It has to line up with His word or He won't do it. The living word is what God uses to provide our every need. The living word must be activated by our faith, which works by love. We cannot activate the word if we're not walking in love. If I'm in unforgiveness, if I'm angry and worried and fearful, I cannot activate the word. I can say it. I can even think it's right. I can do whatever I can do, but as long as that's there, no love walk, no faith. No faith, the word don't work. Matthew 6:33. But seek, aim at, and strive after first of all. Now, if it's first, what is it? It's first. It's not second. It's not something you do later. But seek, aim at, and strive after first of all, and all means all, His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, and then. It means if you don't do that, then this don't work. And then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. See, it's not you're not working it up and making it happen. You're seeking the kingdom. And then the results is what you are needing and lacking is added to you. Because you're seeking the kingdom. You're seeking God. You're seeking His word. And the word manufactures or brings to pass whatever you're lacking.
Can you seek the kingdom and not tithe?
There are certain things when you seek the kingdom you do by degree. You know, for me to seek the kingdom today might not be the same as I'm going to seek it in a year from now. Because I'm growing in knowledge and wisdom. You cannot seek the kingdom white-knuckled. You know what I'm talking about? You cannot do it by works.
That's the flesh.
Okay? If I hear 100 sermons on tithing and I run out and do what I think is tithing and I don't do it from a heart condition, I haven't tithed. I've given my money, but I haven't tithed. It's a heart condition. Tithing is a heart condition. Now, when I start seeking the kingdom, tithing may not even be in the picture yet. I'm seeking the kingdom, and God may start with my words. He may start with something else. May start with the relationship I have. But then as I work on those seeking the kingdom, now He adds another thing to it. And then another thing. And then another thing. You never get done seeking the kingdom. Yes, you can seek the kingdom and not tithe.
But if you continue to seek, you'll get there.
You'll be a tither. That's exactly right. For you to just go out and do things is not seeking the kingdom. Just because you hear a bunch of sermons and messages on it doesn't mean you're really seeking. When you're seeking the kingdom, you're doing it from a heart condition because you want to. You're positioning yourself for more of the Father. And then he teaches you one step at a time as the reality of what he has taught you comes up. Now you can go to the next step. I've never heard anybody say it that way, but I know I'm right. But that's my opinion. When I see, I'm talking overall scripture, the way God leads, how he functions through love, how he guides us a step at a time in everything we do, how the person that's born again is not where a person is at the 20 years from now that's been in the Word all that time. He's studied, he's changed. We tend to expect this new guy here that's been in it one day to be where I am after 20 years. He's not going to make it there yet. He's got 20 years to go. Hopefully he gets there faster. But we're all at different levels. But God knows us right where we are. And you do you know, if we measure things, we have them on different levels and all of this. But you know where God's got that guy? The same level as a 20-year guy. They're on exactly the same level where God's concerned. Because it's a heart condition. Like that Pharisee that came in and he said, I'm glad I'm not like that publican over there. I tithe and I do all of this. And what Jesus, it was a parable. And Jesus said, the publican, or the guy that was just, he's just a sinner. He came in there saying, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry for my sins. What did Jesus say about him? The Pharisee did not go away justified. The publican did. He went away justified because he was honorable, he was honest, he came with his heart. The other guy was bragging on himself. He could have been right about everything he said, but his heart was wrong. The other guy's heart was right. Two different levels, but God saw him this way. See, and that's what we miss. So if we're really seeking the kingdom, and I'm going to say it again, yes, Mother, you can seek the kingdom but not tithe. I'm glad you brought that up. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had that conversation. But like Nate said, if you continue to seek the kingdom, you will be a tither. Because you'll see it in the Word. God will open the eyes up. But when you do tithe, you'll do it from a heart condition, not a head condition. And not a religious act. It'll be something that you do because you love the Father. And you love the Lord. You love His Word. And it's His commandment. So I obey it. There are a lot of ways to tithe. You can tithe yourself, tithe your time, tithe your actions. There are all kinds of ways to tithe. More than money. The only reason money is a tithe is because it represents your life, represents your livelihood, where you're laying your life down. I used to think when I purchased something, I would think of how much my time this is costing me. You'll buy a lot less if you think of, it took me 30 years to pay this house off. 30 years. You know, and you think of how much that car is going to cost you. You'll skip the new car if you look at it in the terms of how much work I'm going to have to do to earn the money to pay for that. You know, so you think differently, you know, if you do that. But that's what the tithes represent. It represents your life. What you work for this. You traded your life for this.
It's the most easily recognized measure.
Yeah.
Yes.
For some, you know, for most to see.
Yes. But seek, aim at, and strive after. See, this is something that we're supposed to be working towards. Something that I'm striving for. But seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness. That's what you're looking for. You're working towards that above everything else. The other stuff's still there. You need to concentrate on that too. But the priority is this. His way of doing and being right. And then, when you do that, all these things taken together will be given you besides. And he's been talking about clothing and all the other worries and cares. Now, John 15:7. If you live in me, now that word if, we all know what if means, it's conditional. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and the word abide means live. It means this is a place I'm always at, a place where I live. Abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. We like that, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. We like that. But we don't look at the conditions in front of it. If you live in me, well, what's that mean? You're born again. You're in Christ. Abide vitally united to me means I'm staying linked. I'm seeking his kingdom. I'm one with him. The words first. And my words remain in you. How does a word remain? Well, if I receive the word, I'm working my way with that word, I'm doing what it says, and then I don't put that word in, and I kind of lay it aside, and it goes away, and I was right back where I was again, that word didn't abide. A word that abides means it remains with me. It means I correct myself with that word. It means I'm meditating on it, I'm thinking about it, I'm doing something with it. So this word has to abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts. This is something that becomes part of you. Then you can ask what you will and it shall be done for you. It's all conditioned on what I do, but it's all conditioned on what I do with his word. Making the word first place, making him Lord, like we talked about earlier. If he's Lord, then I'm doing this. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. May grace, God's favor and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts, be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For his divine, for, we know what for is there for, right?
Yeah.
It's connected to what he just said. The reason he did this is because of that. The reason I'm praying for this is this next statement. For his divine power has, and that's an absolute, it's also past tense, has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellent virtue. Read that in the New King James, Mama.
I don't have a New King James.
You don't have a New King James. Grace, 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. So he has called us, doesn't mean we're answering. He's called us so we have a right to come, and he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, if it has to do with life or godliness, he's already given it to us.
Amen.
So why do we lack? See, it's conditioned with lordship, isn't it? He's, and the knowledge of this, it's through the knowledge of him. Where do we get our knowledge of him? In the word. That's how we get knowledge of him. So everything he does for and through us all comes from knowledge of him.
Amen.
And look at this next verse in 4, I didn't include it in that. By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, or his word, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, which is love, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. So because you are doing this, you've escaped the lust.
Amen.
And lust isn't just sexual. It can be for anything. It can be for money, a car, whatever.
The NIV literally calls it out as evil desires.
Yeah. Evil desires instead of lust. So see, he's given us this. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. You've got to qualify that, through the knowledge of him. So if you don't have knowledge of him, then all things that pertain to life and godliness doesn't work. So it means you got to spend time in here.
Amen.
Spend time in the Word. Come to Bible study. Listen to the Word. Speak the Word. Think the Word. Condition your life to walk the way that God wants you to walk. And focus on the love walk. So yes, the Lord is my shepherd, and I am at rest. We only got to verse 1. And there's no way I can get to verse 2, but I will read it. Verse 2 of Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in fresh green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. Why? Because I've made him my Lord. I've made him my Savior. I've made him my shepherd. And because he's Lord, then he can lead me down in the fresh green pastures. What I was saying earlier, we come to the Lord with this big problem and we ask him and he says to go over here. What he's telling you is the green pastures, or your answer is over there. But yeah, but Lord, I got this problem. I'll get to that. I'll do that later. I promise you I'll do that. But what about this? And he still says, go over there to the green pastures. That's where your answer is. It's over there. And that's what he does when he leads us. If he's my Lord and my shepherd, I'll go over there. I may not understand it instantly, but if I listen to him and know his voice and study his ways, and his ways always love. So he is placing me in the place I need to be. Over there. For whatever reason, there's something over there that's going to take care of this. It's there.
And if nothing else, it's just to put you in a place where your focus can change enough that you accept the answer.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right, Nate. Exactly.
Yeah.
If I'm in a place, I've got this worry going on. I'm focused on this problem. But he says go over there, and like you said, I go over there. He's positioned me. Maybe the answer's not there, but he's positioned me. Now I can hear. Why? Because I'm not worried about this anymore. It's there. It's not changed much. But now I'm in a place where I can hear and take the next steps as he leads me. So it's important that I go there. But if he's not my Lord, I'm not going to go there. Because I'm going to stay focused on this problem. Or if I'm carnally minded, fleshly, worldly minded, I'm going to stay right here with this problem because I can't let it go. I have to let it go. I have to. If I don't, it's only going to get worse. And it will sink my boat. Satan's over here saying, you don't want to go over there. What's over there? A bunch of weeds. Forget that. You can't afford to walk over there. What about this? If you let this drop, it's going to take you down. And that's what Satan wants. He wants you to stay focused on the problem so it does take you down.
Can't get any work done over there. You gotta
be here.
Yeah. Exactly right. So, we just can't think the world's way. We got to think God's way. We got to let the Lord be our shepherd. And we'll rest in him. Hallelujah. So that was just verse 1 of Psalm 23. So we're going to tackle verse 2 next week. I know I won't be able to do 5 verses. So I got too much information. So there'll be 3 of these on this one. I'm pretty sure there will be. But this is good. There's a lot of good information here. And if we read Psalm 23 and we study it and we think about it and we put ourselves into it, we can see why David was a man after God's own heart. We can see it because he was focused. He focused his life on God. And time again, you see where David was delivered. I'm not going to run after an old Goliath as a teenager. But he did. And he was successful. He was successful as king. He had problems. But with all the ups and downs that he had, he knew the way out. He knew the way out. And you see it in the Psalms. And every single time, no matter how bad it was, the majority of the problems he had, he made himself. He caused them. And every time he would bring the problem to the Lord, and then he'd start talking how great his God is. He always brought God into the picture. If we could only learn that. You see, David wasn't born again. He didn't have the Holy Spirit in him. He was just a man trying to walk right with God based on the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. How much better we should be, because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the Word. David didn't have that. He had the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible. That's what he had. And some Psalms that some people wrote, and he wrote. That's what they had. We can go to 2 Peter here and see that God's already given us all.
We're talking hundreds of years after.
After Moses.
They got into the promised land.
Yeah, hundreds of years. All they had was the prophets and those books and the covenant. And David still got to the place where he was a man after God's own heart. God himself said that about him. I mean, that's a statement. It means that we're as close to one as possible. You know, what an honor. I want to be that kind of a person. And there's no reason why I can't be, because he's living in me.
Amen.
Well, Father, we thank you for this word tonight. We thank you for the time we've had together. Lord, we love you. We set our love upon you. And I thank you for teaching us these truths, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're revealing the truth of being what lordship means and what it means to be our shepherd. Lord, we thank you that you're revealing this to us and that you do want to teach us. You want us to know. And if we position ourselves, we will know. We thank you, Lord, that you're so, so merciful to us. Just like we talked a while ago about that, leading us one step at a time as we grow. But you see us in a different level than what we see ourselves because of our heart condition. We thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Father, for teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.